Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
Today we are, as always, taking your calls for on-air readings and discussing the consequences of fear. So callers, 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. Please press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. We do converse first normally, and I think that's the format we're going to be following today. We do invite our callers to join us on Facebook and on Twitter. If you have called the show a lot and haven't connected with us on those sites, we really appreciate your support there because this is a service we offer for our listeners. So that small token of appreciation we do respect greatly. 562-596-7818 is the number for more conversation the radio show can accommodate. And I guess that's it, Neil. Consequences of fear. I mean, you know, it's a rich subject, as are all of the subjects we address on the show. But fear has effects on a physical level, an emotional level, a mental level, and even an astral level. So fear can not only affect you on the physical plane and create disruption in your life, but I mean, it can even block your third eye. So there's a lot to talk about today on the subject for sure.
There is. Obviously, fear, the basic essence of fear is on a physical level meant for two things. One, flight, you run, or you freeze. Those are the two basic elements of fear before it's converted into anything else.
Right. This is a survival level of fear. Fight or flight.
It's to extend you flight or freeze, or you stand your ground, or you're apprehensive and you don't move forward. There are certain elements that we don't want to say that fear isn't always appropriate. Of course, fear is an emotion and a feeling and an experience that we go through for our own self-protection. We're not really discussing the attitude of fear on a legitimate level. What we're talking about is fear, irrational fear, which we oftentimes experience due to insecurity. So when fear is related to insecurity, here we mean the psychological aspect of insecurity, not insecurity in terms of if I jump off this mountain and I die, that makes me feel very insecure. We're not talking about that kind of insecurity. We're talking about the energy of insecurity insofar that we're afraid to move forward because we may fail. We're afraid to move forward because we may be rejected. Those elements of fear, and they go on that kind of a list, is what has perhaps very bad consequences for us in terms of completing our mission on the planet. We're here to establish a stance in the world, and from that stance we are to move forward to follow through on what would be otherwise deemed as our destiny or our purpose.
Right, so our fears can interrupt that destiny.
Yes, especially if our fears are linked conditionally to experience. We've been rejected, so now we fear rejection.
Right,
we've
so in relationships or trying to go after a job we want, for instance, just on a basic level.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of our fears are created through experience, but not necessarily through life and death, the life and death struggle. Sometimes it hits into our psyche in terms of our experience with negative energies that produce such an aspect of fear within our system that they become the monsters that block our paths to creativity or self-actualization.
Right. So even on the most basic of chakra levels, 1 and 2, you can be stuck for a whole lifetime and you don't even ever really venture up into the upper chakras at all in terms of actualization because you're stuck, you know, dealing with trying to manifest something, you know, a relationship, a job. You never get into the spiritual. I mean, maybe you call psychic shows, but
some of the fear factors based in the first chakra were legitimate. I mean, the fear of jumping out of an airplane without a parachute is not stopping us from our destiny unless you're Evel Knievel and you make something of it. But that fear is actually promoting our life because we have to learn certain fears.
And,
and whatever the fear is that promotes the attitude of our life so we can have perhaps a full life, those are legitimate fears.
Right, but stopping our life because we maybe had an experience in childhood or socially that doesn't involve us to interact with other people or you know, get a healthy relationship, you know, a romantic connection, that's, you know, if that's something you desire, that's unhealthy. That's an unhealthy fear.
Right. That's an unhealthy fear. And that's the very energy that we're speaking about. That's why these shows, Dr. Phil, and these shows where people come on and confront their fears, confront their perpetrators, and they have an audience of support. You know, that's how we come to analyze our fears and deal with them. People who go into therapy, people who go to self-esteem classes. We usually go there because we are confronting our demons, our fears that are stopping us from growing. Now, when that happens and we stay rooted to the first chakra, it's no really different than saying, I'm never going to leave my home because I'm afraid to go outside. If you stay rooted in an irrational fear and that fear is entrapped in your first chakra, you're never really going to enter your second chakra, your third,
that's
your fourth.
What I'm saying.
That means relationships. That means creativity. Now, there are people who are very secluded and still manage to lead a creative life. The Emily Dickinsons that wrote poetry and put them in their closet and never exposed any of their poetry to anybody.
Well,
there's people.
Thoreau was isolated.
Thoreau was isolated. Well, he was isolated, but he had a social consciousness. And his isolation was based upon an experiment of some kind.
Right.
But the
nonetheless.
Yeah, but the attitude is well taken. I mean, we have people that just exit the world and they want to live on their own.
I want to add, some people do that like in a situation where they're a monk or a nun or serving religion, which, you know, kind of is a different category, but
the isolation, if we produce an isolation in our chakra system, but the content of it is of a high purpose that doesn't equate to this, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the factor of fear, which is basically an abstract energy. It can be connected to something concrete, but it's basically in its depth, an abstract conception. Fear is not something we can put on the table and look at. We have to talk about where it comes from and what it's connected to. So fear is conditional. It's a conditional feeling that we get from an experience, and that's the kind of fear we're talking about. A created fear that erupts in our experiences of life, and then that becomes the ruling factor of our inner being. And that becomes the ruling factor of how we express ourselves to the world.
Right. So, you know, you mentioned Dr. Phil and shows that support this format. I think Oprah Winfrey, when she was on the air, you know, people came on and told, you know, aired their dirty laundry. And a lot of people that are on those shows are stuck living the drama of whatever experience they had, and they don't move forward from it, which is very dangerous, in my opinion.
A lot of them, you know, use it as a platform for X amount of reasons, and some of them legitimate.
Well, and obviously, people are, there is good, I think, that sharing your experience does for the general public, because, you know, other people that have had that same, the same condition in their lives can relate and maybe will seek help or whatever. So there's good that comes from it. But in terms of, you know, staying in an attitude of a problem and just re-victimizing yourself over and over throughout your life keeps someone in a fearful state.
Fearful mold. Yeah, that's where we come into the play of the attitude of fear, because fear manifests in a person's energy when they're holding on to fear that's irrational. It manifests into problems such as, I can't get a job, I'm looking, I can't find one, I can't get a relationship, I'm looking, I can't find one. Whenever there's a conflict going on, generally speaking, it's good to examine where does fear put into it. Now, some people will say, I have a problem and I'm not fearful, and I don't even want to hear the word fear because my problems have nothing to do with fear. They have to do with other factors. Those people we're not addressing. We're not addressing those people that have different attitudes going on. It could be there could be negativity going on. There could be all kinds of things that are factoring into a person's blocks towards their goals. This show is talking about the fear factor, those people who know inside that they are afraid, and they're almost too afraid to act on their fear. So what they do is they cower under it. It almost becomes an oppressive society kind of notion, where you're so afraid of the government or you're so afraid of a ruling factor.
Well, that may not be unjustified fear. But anyway, you're the government.
Well,
I mean, that's,
no,
you know.
What I'm saying is that a power in place can produce a fear that keeps people from moving out of their fear.
Of course.
You know,
right.
Unless you have social protest groups or people who stand up and they're not afraid of the tear gas or whatever it may be, that is a different kind of energy that surmounts fear and supersedes it into an action. We're talking about those people, and even the quieter people who say, you know, this, my story isn't dramatic. No one really knows about me. No one really cares about me. But in my own inner world, I'm locked in a world of fear. I'm really afraid to do much of anything aside from the few things that keep me alive. And I feel forgotten. I feel neglected. And it feels hopeless. Those people we're reaching out to, too, because that becomes an energy within the system of a human being that thereby contains such an obstruction to growth that it feeds upon itself. And these people die eventful-less lives. They're just really unmarked. And those are the people that we have most. It's very gratifying to find someone in our professional world where we meet somebody who is locked in fear,
and
through
that
slow process of energy work and whatnot, they blossom and their whole lives are changed. And what these people realize is that I had no idea there was a world like this out there. And it was only a matter of conquering fear. Now, of course, that can come by way of psychics or therapists or a dream team of some kind that people produce around them. But, or just the inner yearning of being tired of being fearful.
Right.
So we all have to face this in life. I think we all are given a certain amount of fear that we have to deal with.
That's what I was going to say, because many people who have specific fears are not completely disabled by fear, but it will creep into certain areas of one's life and then be debilitating in that specific area. So
yeah,
there are people that are very high functioning that might have a fear in a certain area that starts to affect their existence.
You know,
so it's not necessarily like everybody's, you know, hiding out in their homes.
Not everybody's
afraid of,
look at,
you know, going outside or whatever.
Like with the kids that go to school and they're fearful of a certain social group or scrutinizing or
being bullied or whatever.
Being bullied. And they can be intelligent people or they can be people with special needs. But that's where the fear starts. And it's almost like you got to have a Karate Kid teacher around you to help you understand how to deal with your fears and how to conquer that, even though it may take a matter of risk and pain and maybe a little bit of mismanagement of courage, but you're still trying to muster up enough courage to fit into the crowd. I mean, there's always that factor going on. And I think on a social level, it's very hard to escape the idea that there isn't some kind of incident or that's involved in a person or an event where fear doesn't instill some kind of fear within us. Whenever we're driving on the freeway, I have a lot of fear about, you know, accidents and cars stopping and you don't stop in time and somebody jumping the line. So it comes even if you think you're kind of cocky and you got it all under wrap. There's always this element that at any given moment we can cease to exist. And that existential fear can at times crop up and get the best of
right.
us, even if we think we're of high-minded purpose.
But exercising caution and being aware of your surroundings on the road is a different, I mean, that's not really the same.
Yes, exercising caution, but there's always an element of risk. There's always an element of risk in
well,
anything.
Yeah, I mean, you walk outside, a tree can fall into your head. Or,
tree can
you know,
fall
under,
this guy that
lightning.
Got shot in the face, just being an innocent bystander of somebody who wanted to kill
well,
somebody.
That's very common,
in the
you
recent
know?
News.
Yeah.
So we don't know. Life and death, they're both very fragile things. They can come at any given moment in time, whether we escape death and we live or whether we don't quite make it and we die. We have this built-in fear factor that, yes, you're right, it is part of our survival instinct and part of our cautionary genetic manner of learning. But the idea that we also have these, quote, demons of fears floating around us that add to the picture and impound us for for any amount of time. What?
Nothing.
Impound.
I was
impound.
Thinking, you know, of a car being impounded or something. Anyway, I don't want to analyze the word. Because we got to get to our reading. So,
yeah, we have to get to it. Well, if you look at it, you'll see that it was properly used. you impound a car. And what happens when you impound a car?
Well, it's held by, you know.
Yeah. So we can impound our own selves by attitude. We can actually slide past our reasoning of what is healthy and go into an unhealthy mode of thinking and actually impound ourselves within ourselves. And that's the notion of what we mean by impounded. But the suggestion that we do this, we have to all of a sudden look up, and everyone has to look at themselves in the mirror at some point and say, how much am I causing my fear to manifest into more fear? And what can I do to conquer that? How can I use my valuable time to remove myself from a fear that, however created, I need to get past? And that's the real question as to how we look at ourselves, our psyches, our chakras, and the element of fear.
Okay, let's take some callers, Neil. We don't want to keep them impounded any longer. Okay, no, but it was used properly. It was used properly. It was just a surprise. A surprise word. It took me by surprise. 770, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hi there. My name's Andrea.
Hi. Andrea?
Hi. And yes, my birthday is 8/9/66. And I was laid off from my job in November, and I've been in sales my whole life and just came looking and haven't found anything and just really, I guess the fear is getting me. It almost feels like the universe wants to move me out of sales because I've applied to other things, even administrative stuff and creative stuff, and I'm just trying to looking for a direction. What is the purpose of this delay, and why is it taking so long?
Okay, and she 39123, right? You got that, Andrea? Have you called our show Andrea? Right, Andrea, not Andrea. Andrea?
Yes, Andrea.
Okay,
yeah.
Have we spoken with you before? I can't remember.
Yes, probably 3 months ago.
Okay, 3 months ago.
I was calling
ago.
About
funny.
A
3 months
I'm
ago.
Sorry?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was calling about a relationship, and I mean, that's another issue.
Uh-huh.
But,
well, it's funny.
Even,
you said
even, even in the dating arena, it seems like I've been blocked.
Stop.
Like, blocked from, like, dated 15 guys, nothing worked out. Anyway. Everything seems hard and
well,
stuck and. So.
Okay, well, let's just first, you said 3 months ago, and actually that you called us 3 months ago, and three happens to be your master number. It's by 39, karma of 39, that's reduced to 12 and reduced to 3. So I'm part of what's going on, the confusion of your job and relationship is probably related to the fact that you're compounded, which means you have an extended amount of karma. That's why you have to reduce twice to get to your master number. I don't know on the last show if we talked about what happened in 2005, but what can you go back to 2005 and remind us if you already told us or tell us what happened that year?
I don't.
2005, you were 39 years old in 2005.
I don't remember anything significant. I've
move, any move, anything with a job, perhaps? It's okay. We don't want to waste too much time thinking, but if
no,
it comes to
I can't remember.
And the
okay,
job that
no.
you're... That's okay. The job that you're seeking... The job that you're seeking... Can you give us... Do you want more information, Neil, or do you want to just go?
It's going okay. I mean,
extended karma, does that mean I have extended problems? What does that mean?
Well,
no. Well, what kind of sales were you in?
She was asking about being compounded, though. Did you hear that?
Well, before we get there, what kind of sales were you in?
I was in LED lighting sales.
LED lighting.
And is that still an ongoing business? Is it still active?
In terms
no,
of
there was
employment.
A layoff. There was a layoff, and I've had other people that I've met recently that work for major electrical distributors say, oh, it's a business that's going downhill. We actually bought a manufacturer, and then we sold it off and going downhill.
Yeah, Andrea, I think the field you're in, my take on this is that the field you're in is sort of finding its way out of the world. You know, we were just reading a article about how libraries now, they're getting rid of books and everything's going electric, and they don't even have books in libraries anymore. I mean, there was just a major article in
the LA Times.
In the LA Times at Berkeley. And not, you know, they're having their own problems, but everything's turning bookless. So you only have books in... Well, the industry is changing. The electrical energy, the electricity, everything's changing.
Well, LED lights, I think, are that they're new. LED lights haven't been around that long, have they? I mean, how long have? Are you talking about like light bulbs for the home?
Commercial applications.
But essentially lighting for spaces. So they're like light bulbs, LED light bulbs.
Warehouses and offices and private jets.
And
gym,
don't they like last forever, the LED light bulbs? Don't they have
do.
Like way more life?
Like 50,000 hours, yeah.
Yeah,
way,
they have way more life
mean,
than these bulbs, the regular
well,
light bulbs.
But
and they reduce your energy bill like 60%.
Right, but by your own words, you're saying that colleagues are saying that the industry's kind of going down or something.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You see, the industry's going down, you're getting older. It's hard to recycle. Gets more difficult. So there's no future there. What you've got to do is take your sales experience and look appropriately according to your age 50, and you're about to turn 51, which is going to be a multiple of your master number. So there's going to be a change by August. You'll have a job by August. But let's talk between April and August. I believe you'll probably get a job by June, July. But you've got to go to a different sales energy, one that where a 50-year-old woman can fit in and make your experience that you've had valuable to the company, you're going to get a job right away.
In fact, Neil, in August, it's going to be your 17th cycle of her master number three. And that is the mm-hmm. karmic, the sum
eight,
of the
nine.
Karmic side. 8-9 is a 17 equals 8, which is 8, you know, management, finances, that.
You know, there's no curse. There's nothing, Andrea, that you need to worry about in that regard. This is a world situation problem, and you got caught in it. And it's just the timing's changing. You need to look, you need to regroup, look at companies where you're you don't need to change your career. You just look at what you're doing, find the company that where your age and your experience will fit in to the vision of what the company wants. And there's a lot of growing companies out there. And you're going to get a, I think you're going to get a job by June, July.
Just about being, about her being compounded, you know, I want to say that, yes, sometimes there's more complications in the life of someone who's compounded, but she has great numbers. 8, 9, 6, 6
yeah.
are excellent. So, I mean, you know, there's not, you know, you're not doomed.
You're not doomed. And the, Andrea, what's happening too is you're triggering this, our topic, you're triggering fear and concern, and it's starting to manifest in your energy, and you're putting out that fear. Animals pick it up. Companies pick it up. So don't act too desperate. Don't act like you don't go to an interview and go, well, you know, I just don't know. I've been looking, and don't do any of that. Be very strong. Act like you're working on the first page of confidence and go forward. You're going to get a job by June, July, I think.
What's that song? I Have Confidence. What's that musical? What musical is that from?
I don't know.
Okay, well, it's not coming to me later in the show. Sing that to yourself. If we can figure out what this is. Does that help, Andrea? We have to move on to other callers. But Andrea, I'm sorry.
Yes. Thank you so much. Yes.
You're welcome. Take care. Okay, 315 area code. Please press 1 if you would like to speak with us. 315. Press 1 if you would like to speak with us. Okay, they're not pressing 1. Yeah, it's from The Sound of Music. I Have Confidence.
Oh, yeah, there's another musical where the girl sings and talks about how she likes herself. I forget the name of the song, the musical, but it's
I Feel Pretty is what
no,
the story,
no,
but that's,
one.
You know, another one.
It's one of those more contemporary.
Well, anyway, I Have Confidence is a song from Sound of Music. I couldn't remember what musical it was from. But anyway, okay, so we're going to take 3, 2, 4. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm not sure if I'm on air. I'm on air.
You are, yes. Hi. It's you're a Skype
okay,
caller.
Okay. Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Hi, I'm Tina. I'm calling in. Yeah, I spoke with you also once 7 months ago.
Okay.
So my birthday is February 24, 72.
Okay. What's going on?
So I was listening to your show today, and it's about fear-related matters, and I just... well, let's say I just regularly seem to come in situations where fear is blocking my creativity, and it's I'm not really sure if it's related to a life experience or past life, for example, and I was wondering
right.
if you could pick something up.
Okay. It's interesting. She says 27 equals 9. Is that what you got, Neil?
Yeah.
Make sure our addition is
yeah,
matching today. But that's her year, 2072, your inverted year,
yeah.
1972.
Yeah. What happened in 1999, to your recollection, Tina, when you were 27, were you in school? Did you go through any change? Was there a job change, a relationship change at all during that year?
99, a kind of job change, yes.
Yeah.
I started different studies.
You went to college, right?
Yeah. Yes.
You sound college educated to me. So you went to college. What was your degree in business or more the liberal arts?
No arts.
Yeah, business.
So artistic.
What was your degree in, Tina?
No, I have a master in fine arts, and afterwards I did studies to become a teacher in higher education system.
Okay, so you're very soft-spoken, and you're a little bit hesitant with your words, which is not the ideal high school teacher mode, but
yes.
Your fear comes. Let me ask you something, because it's a short show, so we're trying to surmise what is going on here with your fear factor. Part of it, you talk about past lives. Yeah, there may be a little bit of past life energy. You're a 2-2-4 in your first three numbers. 2 and 2 is 4, and then your following number happens to be a 4. So some of your fear factor is rooted in your upbringing in this lifetime. So there might have been, if I'm not mistaken, there could have been an authoritative parent that overruled the household in a way that produced in the children a sense of fear. Was there such an authoritative parent in your upbringing?
Yes.
And was that mother or father?
Mother.
So your mother energy is how we would begin to track out and towards the element of where this fear factor is coming from. So it gets a little bit in the acute psychological terrain that has produced some of these fear factors, in your case, a fear factor that has worked its way through your lifetime, through your breathing, through your blood, through your psyche, and is hitting a point now in your life where you're starting to face it again. So it's an overwhelming factor. You might be overwhelmed, Tina, by certain circumstances in your life, and you feel, this is too big a wave. It's like somebody who wants to go swimming in the beach, and they're all eager, and they are swimming in 4-foot waves, and suddenly a 10-foot wave comes, and they freak out. It's still a wave. It's just a bigger wave. You're experiencing a bigger wave of energy that's producing an attitude of fear from an original sense of fear in the water. But I think your mother probably overextended her authoritative voice and her hand wiggling, finger wiggling in your face and whatever other punishments she did. Yeah, you see, you're getting a chuckle out of you. So that's where it starts. And we gotta remove that, Tina, because
I thought I had.
Well, no, you probably did to some level. You obviously did, but sometimes energies come back. Mm-hmm. We can't help it. As we get older, we start to become feeble. We start to become more childlike because we lose our faculties. We lose our ability to be mobile. So it's just part of life. There's nothing wrong with it. Mm-hmm. It's just that we have to keep fit. So even though you may say, I thought I did, and I'll say I agree with you, you probably did. I'm not going to argue with that. But somehow the fear has regrouped and incorporated itself into a set of external circumstances where your mother, the metaphor, the extension of her energy is coming out in a different wave. And your brain is connecting to this wave as though it were an authoritative energy that's surmounting you and causing you a block. Does that make any sense? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't.
Yes, I do. Yes, it's somehow what I already thought. So, yeah, mm-hmm. it's kind of affirmation.
Yeah, we externalize our experiences. You know, they become internal experiences, and then we externalize them, and we find that now mother is now our job. Mother is some other. It's incorporated itself into some other kind of fear, and that isn't to give a bad rap to mothers. It just means a bad rap to how we are brought up under adverse authoritative techniques and tactics that sometimes parents administer because they just don't know any better. They just get frustrated. They have their own demons to deal with, whatever it may be. But there's a proper alignment that can be established, I think, in your case, Tina, where this can be corrected.
And specifically, she was talking about her creativity. What exactly are you trying to do creatively that you feel like this fear is being is hampering?
It's not so much that I don't know what to produce in a certain way, but every time, for example, a gallery is asking me for a deadline to make something, I become rigid. It's every time I have to make something under pressure that I feel that I don't want to do it, that I really have to feel completely free. So it's not so.
Is this in your
teaching? So good for...
Are you still teaching, Tina?
No. Yes, I do both. So actually I have a double career. So I'm teaching and I'm an artist. So
you're an artist, so
both.
It's producing art. That's the creativity. Yeah. And you're teaching what subject and what level?
Well, painting, but at the Academy of Fine Arts. So it's
at the Academy of Fine Arts. Where do you live?
In Belgium.
Oh, Belgium.
You remember.
Wait, now I know who we're talking to.
Yes.
Yes. I'm so sorry. I did not realize who we were talking to. I know
it's
who we're
okay.
talking to.
It's okay. Don't worry.
And Belgium, you know, Belgium, back in the 70s, I was looking at this travel book. And it goes, oh, don't go to Belgium. They're only known for their chocolate.
What?
Were they wrong? It's a fascinating country with fascinating
architecture.
And, architecture,
yeah.
and architects too,
yeah.
And so there's a little plug for Belgium. Now the idea, you see, Tina, the deadline metaphor comes from the parent metaphor. You better do this,
yeah.
or else, you know, the punishment factor. Mm-hmm. The idea that the deadline is really about a condition, about being a good person. You know, whenever a parent says, you don't do this, I'm so sick of you, blah, 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 and get to your room, and if you don't get this clean by this time, we're going to be punished. This produces in the child, it grows. And so there's not a deadline, and the word deadline, look at deadline.
Yeah,
it produces
terrible.
A neat metaphor, death.
Flatline.
It's not really a deadline. You know what you got to do is you don't get deadlines, you get deadlines. This is the time, this is the time we give you to succeed and to feel good about yourself and to be creative. So you're an artist, abstract word. Create a different sense of what death is. Maybe it's the death of fear. But the line, you can't have a deadline because a line is a thing. So it's a mixed metaphor. And actually, you don't have a deadline. Lines are real. They exist. The line is the beginning of a drawing. You cannot draw without beginning to create a line. So even if you have a flat line, it's still a drawing. A flat line can be a horizon. A flat line can be several things. A landscape. It can
yes,
be the beginning
course.
Of a reclining figure that is looking at the stars. You know, we can go on and on and be as colorful as we want, but we've got to break you out of, you're a creative person, and we got to break you out of these old habits. They're ridiculous. Minimize them. Rise above them.
Yes.
The only demon you have, the only fear you have is the fear of an experience that's no longer around you. Morph it into something higher, Tina. Start there. It's the cheapest thing you could do to get out of your problem, aside from going to a shrink or somebody.
I don't think she needs a shrink.
No, of course not. You know, create a deadline into a vertical line. Put it upright.
Yeah.
You know,
it's better
maybe
for business.
My words aren't getting through to you. Maybe they are, but we're trying here.
Did you want to say something, Tina?
No way. It just thought that it's related to the business also, of course. I mean, if I want to make works that I can live from as well, and I don't want to be dependent of somebody else to sell them neither. So it's a kind of strange.
Well, here's the thing.
Situation.
Here's the thing, Tina. Do you have a website? Do you have a way we can have access to your works?
Well, if you type my name, you have the yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then
okay,
plug
Google,
yourself
Google
right
you.
Now.
Well, no, I mean she's saying I don't know if she wants to give out her last name on the air, but she it's up to you. It just sounds like she doesn't have a website, but you can Google her name and it will come up.
Yeah, you will have a lot of works when
Well, if you want you can spend 30 seconds having people listen to. We have a lot of listeners on our radio. You know, selling your work is possible. So if you want a reading from us that says you're going to sell your work, absolutely. That's not my concern.
Well, and I think she probably already has sold works, right, Tina? But you just want that continuum.
Yes,
I do.
Yes, it's okay.
Okay, so if you want to plug yourself to let our listeners see what your work is all about, do so. If not, you just be innovative. It seems like you're a little bit dependent on somebody.
So do you want that I give my name or
Yeah, you can give
you
your name.
You want that I give my name?
If you want,
okay, that's,
you may.
So it's okay. Tina Gillen, G-I-L-L-E-N.
Yes, perfect. So folks, Google Tina and you
and
can
is there
the
any
work.
Other, and there's going to be a lot of Tina Gillens.
No, you could put Tina Gillen Art and you should,
oh,
then people
okay.
will find her. Yeah.
It's full of the page if you ever,
Okay.
So
okay,
we'll
Tina.
We'll be interested in seeing your artwork, we'll put out.
I mean, we've actually looked at your artwork, and it's great. But we'll look
memory.
Again.
Well, I'll look at it again. Refresh my memory.
I will refresh your memory. And Tina, thanks for connecting with us. I'm glad you called today.
Yeah, please. Thank you very much. I like your show very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
You. Bye bye.
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 Okay, 818 is our next. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Kara. I called in before, about 7 months ago.
Okay.
What's your name?
Kara with a K or a C?
With a C.
Kara. Okay. And what's your birth date?
11/28/1969.
Okay.
9/10/22. So... while you're doing your calculations, I'll let you.
Yeah, you're 37/10/1. Is that what you got, Neil?
Mm-hmm.
I like to check because sometimes we come up with different things when we're not adding right. Okay, Kara, go ahead.
So I'm still struggling with my relationship or lack of a relationship with my sister. She's deliberately alienated me. And I have kind of two questions. One is I feel that it's greed orientated, money. And the second is I really would like to repair or get involved in her life, and I just don't know how to break down her resistance.
Okay, what is her birth date?
9/14/1967.
And could you refresh our memory about what you called about on the last show? Because I'm
much
thinking
same.
I might remember who you are, but I'm not sure.
Yes, I've called. It was the same.
It was the same.
Somewhat, yes.
24. What type of work do you do, Kara?
I work in the courts. I do alternative sentencing for nonviolent crimes.
Okay, so I don't think we knew that. All right. Alternative sentencing. Aren't they the same master number?
Yeah.
9/10/14/24/37/10/1. Yeah. So you guys are the same. Karmic and master number,
which
and
comes to an 11,
which is
your month,
right?
Yeah. we've always been very psychically in tune with each other as children. And although, you know, I don't reach her on that level anymore.
Why did you, when did you have a falling out with her?
2010. It really wasn't a falling out. It just, 2010. Yeah, that's when everything started.
Was there a death at anywhere around that time or within the framework of that time?
Metaphorically, she has custody of my child, my 10-year-old.
She has custody of your child?
Yes, and that started in 2010.
Oh, that started in 2010. Okay, let's get the child's
before
birthday.
Before that, I was going to bring up the idea of who was married with children and had two children. That was going to be my question to you about 2 minutes ago.
The sister, she just
That's
said.
My sister, yes.
My sister has a husband and two children.
Yes.
And your daughter, when was your daughter
No,
born?
My son.
I'm sorry, son.
6/29/2007.
So he was three when you lost custody of him.
No, I didn't lose custody until he was six. Although he was, I'll phrase it as the police. He was abducted by my father and my sister, and they kind of united together and caused a lot of unnecessary problems. And long story short, I was very much abused by the court, and there was no reason except for a cavity, a tooth cavity. But it, once the whole thing opened up, it was very it's a kangaroo court, and it wasn't very fair. And
So 2010 is when it started, but in 2013 you lost custody officially, is what you're saying?
Yes.
2013, yes. And it's interesting because that's 6 years. He was 6 years old, and that's his mom. He was born in June, and they all become a 10 together. Surprise.
Yeah.
By master numbers.
I suffer very much. I'm shaking right now just because
I'm so
difficult
sorry.
For me to expose it. And it's
Kara, where in the family history is there alcohol-related problems?
No.
We just lost her. Something happened
Something
with the reception.
Happened.
You heard it cut out. Kara, are you still there? Yeah,
I'm
we can
here.
Hear you now. Yeah.
Okay. No alcoholism.
If we lose you, call back.
Okay. Thank you so much. No alcoholism except for my stepfather, but it really was.
That's,
he was a functioning.
That's, yeah, that's, I, but that's, okay, let's rewind. Your stepfather is an alcoholic. Functioning alcoholic. So that's the alcoholism.
I guess. He was very wonderful in my life. He raised me.
He was what?
He was wonderful in your life.
Yes,
but this,
he
the alcoholism
me.
Is still a vibration, no matter if he was great or terrible. That's
well,
the vibration
the,
of being.
Is he crossed
on.
Over or is he alive?
He crossed over.
So I was talking about a death.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember?
Yes, I did. I took it as a metaphorical, but yes.
No. The death that I was now in review, the death that I was speaking of was your stepfather that was coming through to us in the reading as part of the reaching out regarding this problem.
Well,
because the problem is in-house. It's a family problem.
Yes, it is.
And the stepfather, even though he's stepfather, karmically, he's involved in the family.
When did he die, real quick?
1998, but... 1998, but he's the source of money that's trust that my sister has executive control over, and
oh, wow.
I'm a beneficiary. So
that is more depth to the drama.
even though it's a mm-hmm. common name, so forgive me for the common name, and forgive me if you have to search for a common name, but who is Bob or Robert?
No, nothing rings a bell. He's a lawyer that I recently possibly tried to involve within this trust issue and finances as far as,
So it's a lawyer. Bob or Robert is a lawyer involved in this whole issue.
Well, no, he's not. He didn't take the case because he would have to represent my mother, who's still alive, but she's incapacitated.
But there was a connection with a Bob or Robert.
Yes, and she's
in this, and it happened to be in this drama of what we're discussing today.
Yes,
Kara,
yes.
You work in the courts, and you're not hearing our details. You be a better detective. When you say there's no Robert or Bob, and by the way, there was a lawyer that was involved,
well,
but he did take.
I guess I'm saying that he wasn't that significant as far as I would see it, but that's who came to mind. And
well, you know what we're doing, Kara? We're looking in a very subtle way at some of the players. And no matter mm-hmm. what part they play, they were still part of the script. And what I'm determining is that the problem you're having with your sister regarding this custody, and then the idea that, we were picking up on some of the psychic elements that you further validated, including the stepfather that crossed over, that's trying to reach out, and it's about his money and your living mother and all this mess. This is a karmic situation that is not going to be easily worked through. But what we're finding is the door to the house of problems. We're finding the doorway as to how to maybe approach this and figure out how to get the house in order, because your house is disorganized. So we'd have to go into further details in this element that probably the show won't accommodate, but we're beginning to understand that there is a doorway to understanding what is going on and then hopefully to change it.
What's your stepfather's name, just for our notes?
Charles Tuck.
Charles, and your sister?
Cynthia.
And your son?
Vincent.
Vincent, okay. So we have that for the notes. Did you want to say something, Kara, before we close?
I'm so thankful to have your energy and your I really need to extend this after hours. Thank you so much for your show, and I think you two are wonderful, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, and we're here for you, Kara, on the show or off the show, either way. I mean,
we understand you're shaky and you're nervous.
Yeah.
There's a legitimate path, I think, to maybe get things in order. I'm not sure yet whether we're involved or somebody else is involved. That's mm-hmm. going to be a matter of just time
choice,
and space and choice and whatever. But
on
a positional dose, there seems to be a passage here, a northwest passage, if you will, to the outcome. But just hang in there. Just keep calm, and you can use our show if nothing else, and hopefully we'll keep you in our prayers and our energy work and follow through.
Definitely. And I'll extend a call after. Thank you so much. And again,
oh, you're welcome.
You guys are awesome.
Thank you so much. 562-596-7818 is the number to call. And we're out of time, actually, Neil. We're almost out of time. So anything else that you wanted to add before we close?
No, I think we pretty much filled the hour.
Nice. The subject matter really did inspire the callers to weigh in. So that's always good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully we're able to help people. Thanks, callers and listeners. We appreciate it. Bye-bye.